Monster Man, Holiday Special 2023. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. So here we are, another year of Monster Man down, another 100 or so episodes in the bag, not counting patron deities. Like pretty much every year since the show started, it's been an eventful one, filled with ups and downs. But despite that, throughout the year, this show has been something that I could count on, a welcome, if sometimes demanding, note of stability in a hectic schedule. I'm not going to do a year in review episode, talk about the different things that we've looked at during the year. You were there, and if you were, you know how it went. And if you weren't, then you've got those episodes to listen to, and I hope you enjoy them. I do think, just judging by the metrics from this year, you know, this has been an odd year for podcasters and for people who are supported by Patreon in general because of the changing social media landscape. A lot of the tools that we used to use to reach people, a lot of the tools that we used to use to promote ourselves, they don't work as well as they used to, or they're not reaching the same kind of audience that they used to. I'm very grateful because my community on Patreon has been stable, but actually, over the last month or so, I've seen it starting to increase again, because there's normally a little bit of drop-off. Like, people, they realize they don't listen anymore, and so they end their Patreon subscriptions, which is perfectly fine. And then there are new people who come in. And I've been sort of sitting at that level for a while, without really increasing. But recently, we started to have a few more. So I wonder if it's the Dark Sun season, you know? I wonder if people are getting into that. I'm quite excited about it, so I'm glad that listeners seem to be as well. But other than that observation, I'm not going to do some kind of year-in-review episode. But I thought it would be fun to do something to mark the occasion. So for this episode, I'm going to talk about holiday special games. The holiday special is a sort of beloved TV tradition to the point where it is a recognized genre with tropes that can be lampooned in holiday specials. I have a habit of running holiday specials in my games. I've been running them since 2016, maybe? I've always had a game on the go, and it's usually had a holiday special. If you imagine that the game is a TV series, this session would be the themed episode that aired in mid to late December. They're usually pretty lighthearted one-shots that recycle holiday tropes. The first one involved the player characters having to rescue a figure who was very clearly intended to be Santa Claus from a figure who was very clearly intended to be the Grinch. They're corny and silly, but I think people like them, and they've become a little bit of a tradition for me. So we've had the players fighting animated snow creatures, or snowlums, in last year's holiday special. They met the ghost of an ancient king renowned for his generosity, basically another Santa Claus figure. In my post-apocalyptic game, they did a road warrior truck escort mission that was basically for Santa's sleigh. There's been various ones. There was one that had kind of Christmas tree ants. I remember that. They threw exploding baubles. A lot of the time, I just kind of go based on the monsters, which I guess is appropriate for today's episode. I follow the inspiration of what would be a fun holiday gimmick for the monsters. So, like that last session that I mentioned with the ghost, was inspired by the fact that I have a set of evil snowman miniatures, as well as a zombie Santa and Rudolph, and this was a fun opportunity to paint them. I think the Santa and Rudolph came from, it's a person in a reindeer costume, so I think the idea was it's like people you might find in a mall, you know, zombies in malls. Anyway, this year at Dragon Meet, I bought a little barbarian teddy bear miniature from my pal Steven, and that made me think about doing something with the idea of toys, and that prompted the idea of using some of my miniatures, but painting them in a very kind of simple paint scheme, and then covering them in gloss varnish to give them the look of toy soldiers. So now I've got a teddy bear, and I've got toy soldiers, so clearly this is a game about, like, the presents under the Christmas tree. We associate Christmas with toys, but, like, especially with those kinds of old-fashioned toys. Even though what's under the tree for a kid is likely to be something quite modern and sophisticated, the images of Christmas toys are still all alphabet blocks and rocking horses. And that made me think, of course, that this is going to be about the PCs being reduced to the size of toys themselves. And, you know, maybe we could have a miniature landscape with presents and baubles and, you know, whatever one might find on and around a Christmas tree. And those would be pretty easy to make, right? They're just boxes. So I could just put some wrapping paper on some boxes and then I would have presents so that, you know, they could clamber up them and, you know, swing on the ribbons and so forth. That'd be fun. So if they're little toys, you know, if the PCs, the human-sized people, have become like toy soldier sized, then it would make sense that there is a giant child somewhere that watches their adventures like a cartoon, you know, and the PCs are like this season's hot toy, like Tickle Me Elmo or whatever. And some giant parent comes along and scoops them up and puts them in a box under the tree for the beloved giant child. So, you know, they might have to fight some of these toy soldiers, and then they get to do like a Toy Story bit in Planet Escape. And I do have a cuddly bear monster in the form of the Malifaux miniature teddy, who's a very 90s kind of character concept. Like, what if there was a teddy bear, but it was a monster? That's twisted. But I like him anyway. So maybe the toys are people. They've stayed there so long that they've started to lose their individuality. Like, the toy soldiers were real soldiers, but now they're kind of becoming more and more toy soldier-like. That doesn't make sense with the Christmas timeline, but never mind, you know? We kind of tend to overlook these things. And, you know, I have some frost giants that I can use with the giant family. Indeed, I have a really big frost giant and a smaller one. So that can be, like, the parent and the little kid. And never you mind that the little girl, because in my mind is a little girl. Maybe because you sort of expect frost giants to be bearded guys, and of course all my miniatures are bearded guys. So, you know, whatever. That's just what frost giant little girls are like. They have big snowy white beards. The scale compression is going to be a little bit imprecise, but who cares? And then at the end, they can teach the kid and her dad the true meaning of midwinter. Midwinter being the very obvious Christmas analog in my game. And then at the end, I don't know, they'll wake up and find out it was all a dream. They get to keep their experience points, though, or they would lose their minds. So that sounds like fun. A couple of set pieces. Maybe they'll find, like, an elf that they have to rescue. Could be on a shelf. Yeah, so it's basically just about somebody who doesn't treat their world that they live in as if it's real. These giants live in giant land, and it's sort of a Grant Morrison type situation. You know, they're part of a higher dimension, and they watch the lower dimensions as a form of entertainment. That's something, I guess. Now, if that plot sounds a bit perfunctory, that's because it is. A lot of these games, it's all about gags and goofs, and not necessarily very sophisticated ones. That elf on a shelf bit is probably about as advanced as the comedy's gonna get. And in the UK, that kind of low-rent gag is very traditional at Christmas. One of the major traditions of the holiday is the telling of bad jokes, and if the jokes were good, it wouldn't be right. And this kind of game is basically like, it's on the edge of being a party game. It's being played at a seasonal celebration, and that seasonal celebration is a D&D game, but people are eating and drinking, they're chatting, you know, they're gonna, like, have mince pies, and probably not mulled wine since they gotta drive, but, I don't know, hot cocoa. And conversation. And you want a game that has very graspable central jokes. You know, you want something that is accessible. There is, or at least there was when I was younger, a bit of a snobby attitude toward beer and pretzels games. But to be honest, writing this kind of thing, I don't want to say that I put a lot of work into this, but beer and pretzels accessible scenarios and games, just like, you know, slam bang action comic books or frothy romance novels or 3-minute pop love songs, they're simple and they're accessible, but they're not necessarily easy to create. People confuse the idea that they are easy to listen to with the idea that they, or read or watch or whatever, with the idea that they're easy to create. Accessibility is a quality that you have to achieve in your work and your games. It's not something that magically emerges just by not making things complicated. Plenty of things are simple, but not accessible because they don't have, like, a fun hook. That got more profound than I wanted it to be. My point is just simply that if the goofs sound first drafty, they kind of are, and I feel like that's okay. It's going to be 2.5 hours of fuzzy Christmas fun. And I always start them with a poem. Like, almost every holiday special has had some pseudo-Seussian occasional verse that functions as the, like, invitation to it and explains the premise. And sometimes the rhymes are not very good. So, for instance, in the very first one, the Grinch character, Lord Geirinx, goes around stealing presents. His goal is to, like, have a collection of magical treasures. And he was one of the sub-commanders under this character called the Immortal Buffalo General. I've talked about the Immortal Buffalo General before. He's M. Bison, essentially. Geirinx was a bit of an odd duck in that he wasn't based on one of the other four kings of Shadaloo. He was sort of the odd man out. Although, when I say that, they were only loosely based on the four kings of Shadaloo in that the one that corresponded to Balrog was, in fact, a Balrog, or I guess a Balor, and the one that corresponds to Sagat was a Rakshasa, because he's like a tiger man. And what does Sagat say? Tiger, tiger. You know, anyway, that's not important. Geirinx worked for the Buffalo General. And so part of the poem that introduced that episode says, in all of the world, the most evil of men will join up with the ranks of the Buffalo General, which I don't know that I could dignify that with the term half-rhyme. But again, festive occasional verse isn't held to very high standards, and that's sort of one of the things I like about it. So yeah, I think it'd be a lot of fun. That's what I'm planning for the holiday special. In the past, I think players have enjoyed these, and you know, I hope this one's going to be fun for them as well. And it's certainly going to be fun for me. A lot of it is going to rely on the miniatures and how effectively they convey the visual gag. Am I a prop comic? Oh dear. That's not a very nice thing to think about yourself. Anyway, with that horrifying revelation, it's time to sign off for the year. I'll be taking the week between Christmas and New Year's off, so it's going to be 2024 the next time that you hear from me. Once again, I'd like to thank you for sticking around throughout 2023. I'm really looking forward to some of the stuff we've got planned for next year. And before I go, let me, as I do every year, wish you and yours, from all of us here at Monster Man, which basically is me, Allison, and Pepper, very safe and happy holidays. And I'll see you next time, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.